We mentioned last week regarding the inner circle of the Ramchal, which at first they were known as the secret circle. And ultimately the way it started was a letter written by a Talmud, Rabbi Kusil Gordon, who sent a letter to a particular Talmud Chochom in Vienna, Rabbi Mordechai Jaffe. And there he reveals the things about the Ramchal that was claimed only to be known by the members of the circle, of the secret circle. And just to remind you just a little bit of what Rabbi Kusil Gordon, what he wrote was that he says he's a young man of 23 years of age. The Ramchal is 23 years old. My teacher, my master, Holy Spark, he writes, man of Hashem, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, a spark, a nitzutz of Rabbi Kiva ben Yosef. And then he says that the Malach came in a Shemaim and revealed to him the secret of causing, he says, the Mesifta Derekiah to descend to him, to come down to him. And also he says, with the approval of the Shechina and so on, he was urged to write Epirish, which is like a second Zohar, as he pointed out, which is Zohar Tinyono, like a second Mahadura, similar to the Zohar, also written in Aramaic. He also writes about Ramchal, this Rabbi Kusil Gordon, that he knows the Gilgulim, he knows the transmigrations and the Tikkunim of every Neshama. Nothing is hidden from him, and so on and so forth. And he goes on to say that Ramchal, basically his Avodah was to continue the mission of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. It's just interesting, which is something which historians have a little bit of trouble with, and that is regarding the fact that, if it were, the secret came out about the Chavraya of the Ramchal. And the question is, the letter that Rabbi Kusil Gordon wrote, sort of like revealing about the Godless and the Madregas, the Ramchal, whether in fact, did he do this on his own? Was this on his own initiative? Without the consent of the circle and of the Ramchal himself? Or maybe it really was a calculated decision, that meaning that the time came that Ramchal's purpose and mission basically to be disseminated. So there are different interesting historical letters from Ramchal himself. For example, to his Rebbe, who we mentioned a number of times, Rabbi Yeshaya Bosson, who was one of the Gedoyla Hador, talking about Benigla. He, Bechlal, was horrified about the publicity because he was always busy defending him. He was always busy defending him in any rumor or anything that came out about Ramchal, saying he knew him as a student, he knew him as a Talmud, he knew that he's authentic, he knew that he's real. He did not know all the great Madregas that's being attributed to him, but he knew he's not a fraud. And certainly all of the things, the chashashes and the concern and the suspicions that he might be somewhat connected to the teachings of Shabbosai Tzvi, his Rebbe always would defend him and say that none of the sort, he has no part in it. But at least he, Rebbe always considered and hoped that Ramchal would lay low, if as it were, and not come out into the open with his new derech. And so actually when this came out, this idea, the letter of Rabbi Kusil Gordon, which was sent, and now the contents of the letter became public knowledge, he was horrified. Rabbi Shai Basson was really horrified. So we find that there's a letter that Ramchal writes, and he says, according to that letter, it seems that it was sort of like, he maintains in that letter, it was an unauthorized slip. And he writes just a few lines, a few words. He says, revelation was not my desire. And they said, I muffled the news. He says, even though the Magid ben Hashemayim, he had the regular Magid that came to teach him, even though he says the Magid had already permitted publicity. And that was already reshus from the Magid, but I did try to squelch it and to keep it down. And so on and so forth. Also, interesting thing, that Ramchal also hints in a letter to his Rebbe, to Rabbi Shaya Bosson, that also the whole idea that he had a Magid was also kept secret for quite a while. And Ramchal hints in that letter to his Rebbe that the reason why he kept it a secret for such a long time was out of respect for the Rebbe Shver, the Rebbe's father-in-law. Who was the Rebbe's father-in-law? Rabbi Shaya Bosson's father-in-law was he by the name of Rabbi Yomin HaKoyen. Rabbi Yomin Koyen was considered to be one of the most preeminent Kabbalists, Bala Mukubalim, in Italy. So what's the idea? So Ramchal points out, and he hints there in that letter, He says that the reason that he did not reveal that he had a Magid for such a long time was out of the respect to Rabbi Yomim Kohen, who, by the way, Rabbi Yomim Kohen was one of the top or foremost Talmud of Rav Moshe Zakuto, who basically was one of the greatest Mekubalim of all time, Rav Moshe Zakuto, and Rabbi Yomim Kohen was one of the top Talmidim of him. They themselves unsuccessfully tried to induce revelations from a Magid, and they were not successful. So Mechalef maintained that I was able to do it, that my mission was successful in order to be zeichet to have a gilui of a Magid, and Rabbi Yomim Kohen, the world famous Baal Mekubal, world respected, world renowned, Baal Mekubal, he was not successful. And it means therefore that Rabbi Yomim Kohen might have felt slighted upon hearing that the Magid sort of like spurned, right, his generation from a much younger generation. And that was the Ramchal. He might feel slighted. So therefore he hints in the letter to his Rebbe, to Rabbi Shaya Basan, that that's why he did not reveal. That's why he did not reveal the cloud that he had these revelations of the Magid. So this is in the correspondence to his Rebbe. He writes that it was not my desire and it just sort of like just came out. And also there was blame in other letters placed on other sources and other things. In one place he writes it was the opposition that really spread it because once they had something, so to speak, a leg to stand on, so the opposition, really, they were the ones that spread. If not for the opposition, it would not have spread as the way that it did. What's interesting, though, is that on the one hand, we see that Ramchal, he expresses his regrets to his Rebbe, Rabbi Shaya Basan, regarding the fact that the circle became public. But interestingly, that simultaneously, you see it come out, like, dated in the same tkuf in the same time, that simultaneously, basically, he seems to voicing his delight that he's quite happy, that in fact, that it is coming, that it's coming around, and that the public is sort of becoming aware of it, and he writes as follows. In a different place he writes, the news spread until, thank Hashem, he says, many of the young people are repenting of their sins. Ramchal felt that the idea of this chevra, of this circle, are making a positive contribution, being mekarev, a lot of the youth that up until then were oivrei avera, were not following really b'derech haTorah should be, but because of the influence of this Chavraya, of this Chavrusa, of this Chavra, of the Ramchal. In fact, many of them already repented, and they are coming to learn and to receive guidance. That he writes in one place. And then he writes in another place, he writes, although my desire was to conceal, but in truth it's from Hashem, he says. He says it's from Hashem to execute his profound plans. And he writes further, the Magid told me, again, the Malach, the Magid told me to reassure Rabbi Kusil Gordon not to fear the fact that he had written the letter and now he becomes the cause when I'm bringing this out into the open. So the Magid said, let him not fear. What fault can be found with me and my pure associates? Good things have resulted. Many have repented as a result. He says, and I have initiated many seekers, he said, into the knowledge, into Yediyas Hashem, into knowing the Rabbeinu Shloim. So it's just very interesting that how we see towards Rebbe, he didn't want Rebbe to be upset. So I guess he had to do Bishom Darkei Sholem to do whatever he had to do regarding with his Rebbe. But another correspondence, he felt that this was really the time. So what it seems from the other correspondence that far from shrinking from publicity, what it appears is that Ramchal, matter of fact, sort of this is really what he wanted. And he counted and he cherished every new adherent, every new member that came, seeing in their acceptance, he saw a validation of the authenticity of the mission that he has before him. And so just to mention, so now what it appears again, that the early denials, clearly seemed to be belied by the fact later, where it seems that he wanted to really spread the good tidings, he says, of the divine favor min hashamayim that he has enjoyed, that was bestowed upon him, and therefore it seems it was not so really unwillingly, but really he actively participated in the effort, in fact, to spread the teachings. He felt this was the time, this is the mission, he has a mission to complete, and as was mentioned before, what Rav Shimon Yochai started and was not completed, he felt that it was his mission to complete. So again, this is just interesting how these things move from one step to the other, from one stage to the other, and as Hashem, and we'll be Mamshech next time again a little bit further about what happened and what ensued following. We were in the middle here, the Ramchal, we go now to Perek Dalet, in the middle of Perek Dalet, and we're up to where it says, Yosef, he spoke about Avraham, he spoke of Avraham Avinu, he spoke about Yaakov Avinu, he spoke about that, the idea of Schar V'Yonish, because Ramchal is this stage of the game where he's up to, he's talking about, talking about the Hamoinam, what he calls the third class of people, the lower class of people, what spurs them in Avodas Hashem? As we start, that's us, but then we said it's not even us either. Because the lower class of people are very, very mindful of Schar V'Yoinish, and therefore they are, mice at the end of the day, they are motivated to do the right thing. That's what he calls the lower class of people, who are motivated by Schar V'Yoinish. And he goes on to say how right they are, at least, in recognizing the concept of Schar V'Yoinish, because even the greatest of our people, in the greatest of our people, if there was an infringement on their part, they also were not spared. When it comes to the Indian of Einish, certainly Schar, of course, we know. But even when it comes to Einish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not play any favoritism. On the contrary, we find with Svivov Nisara Moed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Medagdik, he says, Im Tzadikim Kechut Asara. And we're in the middle where he gives the number of examples, various examples, of showing how far HaKadosh Baruch Hu really, how exacting the Oy Mekadin, as he pointed out. The Indian of Oy Mekadin. So the example that we're up to is by Yosef, where he talks about Yosef. And he says, let's take a look, Yosef. Yosef HaTzadik himself, Letish Omar Lesara Mashkin. Let's take a look of Yosef HaTzadik, because being that Yosef himself, right, he said to the butler, right, he said to the wine butler, he said, when the Saramashkin left, right, left the Beis HaAsurim before Yosef, so Yosef asks him a favor, being that Yosef was the interpreter of the dreams, and in fact the dreams came true the way he interpreted, so he says to the Saramashkin, he says to him, Ki im zechartani itoch. Itcho. So he says to him that, please, I would be very, very grateful to you if you would mention my name with you. Right? This would be like a return favor. Do me a favor. Put in a good word for me. That's all that Yosef HaTzadik said. And we find yet in Chazal, we find it in Toisvuloi Shtei Shonim. We find that an extra 2 years, right, of spending time in the Beis HaAsurim was added to the sentence, Kimamorom Zechreinim Levrocha, as it mentioned, in fact, in the Medrash. So here again, Yosef HaTzadik, we say Yosef HaTzadik because he said these few words, because of these few words, he had to endure an extra 2 years. An extra 2 years was added to him being imprisoned. But what has to be really understood and seen from Ramchal, that the point Ramchal is making is really even stronger than it appears on the surface. Because it's an amazing thing, and actually all of the examples, we tried to show it last week also by Avrom and Yanku. Because if there is a question, if we're saying that Yosef was being punished due to the fact that he did extra hishtavlus, as it were, because he said to the Saramashkin, you know, put in a good word for me, which that would seem to be a chesaron and bitochen, would be a chesaron and bitochen. We know that, matter of fact, the king of bitochen, the midas of bitochen, was Yosef HaTzadik. If anybody was kind of shlemis in the midas of bitochen, was Yosef HaTzadik, as we know b'ferish, that when David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Ashrei hagever asher som Hashem miftachoi, Tehillim mem. Right, fortunate is the man who places Hashem as his betochen, as his security. Comes the Medrash, the Medrash says, who is that man? Who is that man that qualifies for this title? Ashrei hagever asher som Hashem miftachoi, says the Medrash, that's Yosef, that's Yosef. And nevertheless, in spite of the fact that he was such a great Baal betochen, the fact that he said, right, he did the extra ishtadlus by saying, ki im zechatani itcho, we see that in fact, that he added an extra 2 years. And the truth is, the Chazon Ish points out, there's two ways of looking at it, in terms of the chet, if you will, as it were. For Yosef HaTzadik's Madrega, the Chazon Ish writes in a sefer, as is known, well-known sefer, it's called Emunah B'Tochen. Chazon Ish writes. And Chazon Ish writes that Be'emes, he says, Yosef knew that his Hatzola really is not totally in his Shtadlus, Haklam Yad Hashem. So is right the Chazon Ish. Yosef knew that his atzolah is not tol in his shnatlis, only b'yad Hashem. But being that we have a klal, that a person, ein soimchen al hanes, this is the chazanish's mahalach of understanding the parasha, being, even though the atzolah comes b'yad Hashem, but nevertheless we have to do our hishtadlis, so therefore, v'loy lismach hanisa, not to rely on this, so chayev Yosef is atzma, Yosef is machayev himself, that is his machayev himself against even his wishes. In other words, Yosef truly believes, of course, the Yeshua is only and only from Hashem. But Yosef understood he has a chiyuv. There is an order of discipline, right, of how Hashem runs this world and what he demands from us. Which means that there is a chiyuv of Hishtadlus. Yosef is mechayev himself. Doesn't mean that he even wanted it. Yosef, philosophically speaking, it's all from Hashem. I don't have to do anything. But however, being that there is a rule, there's a principle that ain't soimchen al hanes, so Yosef was mechayev himself. Like, I have to do it. Like, I have a chiyuv to do any other mitzvah. I have a chiyuv to do Hishtadlus. So what's the problem? The problem is, chivish tadlis is only when at least, when it makes sense that this is tadlis has some sort of a shaykhis to din. Yedun ish tadlis. Mitzrayim were known, the Chazon Ish writes, as people who bechlal were completely the opposite of Akoras HaToiv. As the Chazon Ish's Loshon says, being that the tchuna of the Mitzrim aim b'tivoy liskor ulehetiv. Interesting thing. A new thing. We know about all the deficiencies in Mitzrayim. Bokeh Merves Ha'aretz. We know about all the negatives in the behavior of the Mitzrim. But we find out that in fact that there are people, bechlal, are devoid, intrinsically devoid of the whole idea of Akoras HaToiv. I mean, we can see it a little bit in the Chumash also directly. Rav Yochim El Rashi, Yodas Yosef. Rav Rashi says, now they didn't know Yosef. One pshat is, also Atzmo. It's a gemacht, as if he doesn't know him. As I don't want to know him. In spite of everything that Yosef saved Mitzrayim, Yosef saved Egypt, he saved everybody. It was through his Eitzah. If not, everybody would have perished, they would have all died. Also Satzmo, Kilo Yosef, Ekenim Shonish. It doesn't need him anymore. He's not worth anything to him. Useless. Doesn't need him. Kicks him out. Not interested anymore. Also Atzmo, Kilo Yosef, Yosef. That was the idea. Upon him, the Chazon Ish points out that being that the Mitzrayim, in particular, that we're talking about, that they are people that ain betivoy, a Mitzri does not have any steva liskor lehetiv, so memela ain royu hamaisa hazeh rak mitoch yush.
Oh.
So if you do a hishtadlis in a mochim that doesn't make sense, that means yush. Because in desperation, people do things even if it doesn't make sense. When people are desperate, if it's a life and death situation, you ask somebody, why are you doing it? We call it grasping on straws, right? What does it mean? It doesn't make sense. But so I'll grasp on a straw. I'll try this. Maybe this is going to work. Maybe this. People want all kinds of balam and kabbalam today, regardless of anything. Maybe this is going to help them. Maybe, you think. You try this. No, maybe this is going to help them. The Zelchid knows some. I'm saying. But Bechlau became a situation. People are running to all types of sources without really knowing the Yisoid and the Shairish of these sources. So the Chazon Ish says, for Yosef, therefore, to do Ishtadlis, Loilam would not have been a problem. But to do Ishtadlis here by a Mitzri, by commissioning a Mitzri, that he should be the Shliach, this takes on the appearance like someone who's acting out of Yush. That was the problem. The Chazon Ish has a fascinating lotion. Chazon Ish says the following, he says, when Ishtadlis is not a Chiv, then it's an Isser. You hear the lotion? That's an incredible word. You have to do Ishtadlis, right? You have to. Ain't Shem Chalones. But where Hishtadlis is not warranted, they're not even allowed to do it, he says. Because that means your Yid is in the matzav of Yush. He's in Miyayish. It doesn't make sense absolutely to do it. You're in the matzav of Yush. That Yid should not fall into such a matzav. If your whole Hishtadlis doesn't make sense at all, he says, then of course, then this is not called anymore in Seif HaLanes. And of course, then directly, a person goes and turns to Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what the Chazon Ish looks at it. From the perspective of the Beis HaLevi, right, one might remember, the Beis HaLevi says, because here the question is, if the Medrash tells that Yosef was the greatest Baal B'tochen, right? What happened? What happened all of a sudden? Right? What happened all of a sudden? And the truth is, we say that he is supposed to do Ishtadlis, right? So what was the big avil of Yosef? So he did some Ishtadlis. So the Beis HaLevi says, you have to do Ishtadlis, he says, if a person is on a level that life is guided B'derech HaTeva. That Yosef HaTzadik was the greatest Baal B'tochen, who is truly demonstrating his life, B'tochen, he is on a madrega that need not do Ishtadlis. In other words, the Beis HaLevi, Yosheber, tells us that a person can reach such a madrega that he's above and beyond the Chiv Ishtadlis. But that depends. If you are really about B'tochen in all areas of life, this is the way you lead your life, this is the way your personal, this is the way you live your life. So the truth is, for someone else, it would not have been a chet. Davki, because Yosef is the great Baal B'tochen that he was. Therefore, by him, Ishtadlis was a chet. That's what the Beis HaLevi points out, like in Parshas Miketz, as he talks about it. Davki by Yosef HaTzad, normally would not have been a chet. So let's see now the point that Ramchal is making, after understanding this. Yosef HaTzadik, he says, he wants to show, is being punished for saying what words? For saying, Ki'im Zechatani Itcho. Why could these words seem to be a steer on B'tochen? If there's anybody that you want to be choshish, right, for being shvach and b'tochen, the last person is Yosef HaTzadik. And we see that if a person like Yosef HaTzadik seems to say words which seem to be a steer to b'tochen, he also is held accountable. In other words, you might say we're indicting a person. You should be a bigger Baal B'tochen. Why are you not a Baal B'tochen? Yosef cannot be accused of not being a Baal B'tochen. So you can realize that the words that he said certainly was not said in the context of being a person who doesn't have bitochen. But in spite of the fact that Nohman being the great Baal Betochen, he is held accountable for anything that shows against it. That shows how far the Oymek HaDin, how precise and exact the din is. That Davke Yosef, who was the greatest person in Betochen, was held accountable in an area that might appear, that he's not perfect in his middah of Betochen. And then on he goes further. And he says another reason, another situation we find by Yosef, again to show no matter how great a tzaddik you are, but nevertheless a person is held accountable for his actions. The other idea was Yosef Atzmoi. Yosef also was at fault. He says, Al Shechonat es Oviv, Beli Rishu Soi Shalmokim. The fact that Yosef Atzadik went and he embalmed his father without permission from the Rabbi Nishloim, the Medrash tells us, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, that many, many tzaddikim, that their bodies were preserved, stayed without any, doing any embalming. Which means that you, Yosef, talking about a father as great as Yaakov Avinu, without specific or instructions or indication to do embalming, you should not have done it. So therefore the Medrash tells us that Yosef HaTzadik, Al Shechonat Esov Ibli Rishu Soi, or another version, Levi Shishoma, because he heard his brothers referring to the father, when they spoke to Yosef, they called him Avdecho Avinu, thereby lowering the covet of Yaakov Avinu in the eyes of Yosef by calling him Avdecho, turning him into a servant. So Mamela, whatever opinion you choose, he says, Lamar Kedislay, according to this opinion, or you go according to that opinion, doesn't make a difference, he says. The fact is, Meislif Ne Echov, that right, he died before his brothers. Yosef lived only to 110 years, right, which was less than all of the brothers. So again, so Yosef Taki, his life did not extend as long as his brothers. So that's just again, just more of the same, showing that tzaddikim, no matter how great they are, but a Kodesh Baruch Hu on any infringement, and by the way, for other people, it may not even be called an infringement. But Davke, because he's such a tzaddik, Davke because he's so great. Therefore, a Kodesh Baruch Hu is more medagdik, because when a tzaddik Taki deviates, what's for us maybe a small aveira, from the tzaddik's perspective, from the tzaddik's madrege, is considered to be much, much greater. And then Ramchal goes on to go further. It doesn't stop there. He says, take David HaMelech, for example. What do we find by David HaMelech? David HaMelech we find, Levi Shekoro Ledivre Torah Zemiris. We find that David HaMelech referred to the words of Torah, he called it Zemiris, a song, as it were. He says, Zemiris, right? Hoy lechikecha, in Tehillim Kuf Yutes, that big capital darten, right? So he says, Zmiras hoy lechikecha. He referred to the Torah referring to song. And thereby, by referring to Torah to song, sort of reduces Torah from its high pedestal, as it were. Torah is something much more than songs that you find, a dime a dozen, all over the place. The songs all over. Everybody, this one sings this song, that one sings that song. Everybody has a shaykhis, right? The song, in one way or another. More, less, greater, bigger. Song. And he says, Torah, depicting Torah as being something like such as a song, that was viewed as somewhat degrading, as we'll soon explain, somewhat degrading the covet of Torah. And as a result, David HaMelech, by referring to Torah with the Loshon Zemiris, Nenash, we find in fact he was punished. And ultimately what we find is, Shenichshol Bidvar Uzo, David HaMelech, matter of fact, he becomes nichshol with the maisa of Uzo v'nis arbava simchosoi. And in fact, it disrupted the simcha of the Oren. Now the Oren HaKodesh was being brought, and we find the situation the Oren HaKodesh was pushed, we should really explain it a little bit better, and the truth is what's necessary here to understand the situation truth, the situation truth with David HaMelech. David HaMelech, the Gemara, the source of it really is the Gemara in Soita. As he points out, this is a Gemara tech, in fact, in Soita Daf Lamed Hei. And the Gemara there tells us something very fascinating. The Gemara says that Dorash Rova. Rova says, Mipnei Ma Nenash David, why was David punished? So the Gemara says, Mipnei Shikorul Divre Torah Zemiris. That's what Ramchal is referring to. This is a Gemara in Soita. So the Melech was punished because he called and referred to Divre Torah as Zemiris. Shenemar Zemiris Hoyu Lichikecho Bebeis Meguroi. Omla Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, now this is the Gemara. The Ramchal brings it just very bekitzer, but just the idea. But the Gemara really tells us the full detail. Kodesh Baruch Hu says to David HaMelech. David HaMelech says, Zmiras Hoylu Chikecho. Your Torah to me is like song. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, he says, you, Divrei Torah, Shekoso Behem, regarding Divrei Torah, that the Pasuk says in Mishle, Hasoiv Einecho Boi Veinenu. Divrei Torah is so sensitive. The acquirement of Torah, to be able to absorb Torah, It is so sensitive, a person can lose Torah in a blink of an eye. Because the Pasuk in Mishlei says, Hasoif boy einecho, Hasoif einecho boy, Rashi's lashon is, Shim tachpoy leinecho, listoy mayin, behesach adas, bistakel behem, miyad beinenu, you can lose it. If a person doesn't keep his mind on Torah, and he blinks an eye, and he's maser das, it's shach to lose a lot of Torah. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, being that Torah is so sensitive, right, to be able to acquire it, to be able to preserve it, it's so sensitive. Ato, and you come along, and you kairos and zmiris, you call like zmiris. I can compare zmiris to the sensitivity of Torah is. Harene machshulcha, I'll go be machshul you. Bedover shafilu tanoike shol bishraben yod noisev. What was the oinish of David as a result? Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll make you forget that kaposik in Chumash. In other words, if you refer to Torah like the Zmiris, I'll show you Torah is not like Zmiris. In a blink of an eye, you can forget a Pasuk Chumash. Imagine how backward does a person have to be that someone who knew Chumash, basic Chumash, and to forget a Pasuk in Chumash. Chumash is considered, of course, to be the bread, of course, not considered, it is the bread and butter, to the point that the Gemara says many times, when a Mishnah tells us a halacha, the Gemara says, if it's a Pasuk in Chumash, why is it necessary? Zil kari beirav. So always a kasha, the Gemara says, why did he, yeah, the Tana of the Mishnah have to teach it? It's a pasuk in Chumash. It's assumed if it's a pasuk in Chumash, everybody's going to know it. Zil kari beirav. To forget a pasuk in Chumash is an ultimate bizoyin. It's a tremendous yirida. It's tremendous oinish. Especially for David HaMelech. I'm going to be marshal you in something that even a pasuk Chumash that even children know. What was that? So if we go further, there was a maisa that you heard from someone, in fact, heard it from someone that had a shaykhis to Meir Simcha. To Yor Sameach, we mentioned many times the Meshech Chochma, that a particular person came in, knocked on the door, and he was in the middle of learning, and he asked him a particular shiloh or a particular kasha. And Rameir Simcha wanted to answer his question. As a result, he went over to the Svarim Shrank. He got up from his table, from his chair that he was sitting. He goes over to the Svarim Shrank in order to be able to take out a sefer to show the person where the halacha or the question is answered. As he goes up, as he leaves the table, he goes up. The Gemara that he had on the table, he didn't leave on the table. He takes the Gemara, puts his finger right in it, in order not to lose the place, and he walks with a big, heavy, heavy Gemara, big, heavy Shaz Gemara, not like today, you have, you know, 50,000 sizes you have today. There's one big size Shaz Gemara, there's one size that we have, the big, like the Vilna Shaz, you know, the big Shaz. This is the way they were. Heavy, big. So he walks, and he had to climb over to the Svarim Shrank, he had to climb up at this, I don't know, to the top shelf or second shelf from the top. Climb up, they used to have ladders. So he climbs up, and even when he climbed up, he didn't put down the Gemara. He still had his finger in his place. And he climbs up with one hand, and you can imagine how he had to really exert all of the skill to be able to climb up and manage to get the Sefer, and then climb down holding one Gemara in this hand and the heavy Gemara, right? Needed a lot of Siyata Dishmaya to make it down without falling, to come down Bishleimis there. And finally he was asked, Rebbe, he says, why are you doing this? Why don't you just put down your Gemara? He quoted Mamish this posik that the Gemara says in Soita the posik in Mishle. Hasoif einecho boy. If you blink your eye, you're Masiach Das, you could forget. I don't want to be Masiach Das from what I'm learning. So the way to keep it in my mind, even if I'm doing something else, but by having the Gemara in my hand and still having my finger in the place, my mind is still on it. Bechrech, I'm not Masiach Das. He did not want to trust himself. The posik says in Mishle. The Pasuk says in Mishle, the person blinks an eye, he's Masiach Das from Torah. It could have an effect. It could have an effect. Such great people were able to bemargish that minor effect, whatever it would be. To him, this was not a minor effect. He considered it to be very, very, a great loss, a tremendous loss. But the kind of quality of Torah that one would lose by being Masiach Das. Akaponim. So the Gemara tells us that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to David, Torah which is so sensitive, right? It's not easy to come by, and certainly it's not easy to maintain it. He says, you're Masiach Das, you can lose what you have. And you call it Zemiris. As a result, I'm going to be machshul you in a simple pasuk in Chumash, that even Tanoikish shall be Shrabom, even Tanoikish shall be Shrabom are aware of it. And what is that? The Chsiv, it says, Ule b'nei kohos loinosan. We know that the b'nei kohos, all of the Levim who transported the Mishkan had wagons. But the b'nei kohos, they carried what? They carried the Aroin. The urn was carried on the shoulder. The urn was not supposed to be put in the wagon. The urn is supposed to be carried on the shoulder. The Pasuk says, Ule b'nei kohos loinosam, ki avoides ha-koydish aleim, bakosef yiso. Bakosef. What does bakosef mean? On the shoulder. What was the mistake? The mistake was when the Aron was brought from the house of Avinodov, the Aron was brought, Dov the Melech had put it into a wagon, into an agolo. That's how the Aron was brought from the house of Avinodov Asher Begivo to the house of Oved Edoim Hagiti, and he did not instruct that they should carry it Bakosef. Ultimately, what happened is, you know what happens? If something is transported on a wagon, you know, there's bumps on the road. So Masach a bump, it appeared for the moment that the Aron, Chas V'Sholem, is slipping. Sefer Torah falls, right? Imagine the Aron. Any Sefer Torah. But the Aron. The Aron is simply slipping. So Uzzah ran, right? In order to put his hand under, in order to save it, Chas V'Sholem, from falling. Uzzah died. Why? Because Aron is noises, noisoth. You realize that the Aron is not carried by human beings. The Kodesh Baruch Hu protects the Aron. Aron noises, noisoth. It's another parasha. But let me just point out. So this was... So this was the Einish. This is what Ramchal is referring to. The Ramelach said, "Korel Divrei Torah Zemiris," and then the whole simcha of the Aron coming home was pashit, was tishtert. The simcha was destroyed by the incident of Uzzah, who in fact died because of this incident. And what did he do? He forgot. He forgot a posik b'kosev yisoh. So just like Avruch, just want to tell the Yoylam. There's many different perushim, beautiful perushim. What is the midah? Can I get midah? So Dov Ramelach says Zemiris hoyeluchikecho. Right? He referred to the Torah as Zemiris. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, okay, I'm going to punish you, David. You're going to forget a Pasuk Chumash. You're going to forget the what? That the Torah is supposed to be carried, transported on the shoulder, instead of being carried by the wagon. How's that the Midah can I get Midah from the fact that David HaMelech called the Torah Zemiris? So it's suggested that the Emes says, when it comes to song, very interesting thing. I mean, we see it all the time. When it comes to song, but there are klal, somebody who is born tone deaf, who has no Chusha Negina, but there are klal, there's no way that he's going to be able to sing a good song. And he can study all he wants if he doesn't have it. Right? If he's tone deaf, that's what they call it. It's called tone deaf. So he's not going to be able. His klal is not going to be able, certainly to reach a point so he can be able to be mahana other people in the gin and song. He's born without a chush on the gin. By Dov HaMelech calling Torah Zemiris, this is what once a Mashgiach said. Dov HaMelech calling Torah Zemiris, it would seem to imply that only a person who is born with kishreinus, who has a chush for learning, that he can become a godel b'teira. But if someone was born with shvachik kishreinus, he cannot develop it, and cannot be matzlich in teira. In our teira, it's like zmiris. You have the voice, or you don't have the voice. If you don't have it, you just don't have it. What are you going to do? A voice transplant. You don't have it. So by calling teira zmiris, the implication was that teira is also like that. That either you're born with a koyach of Torah, with a potential in Torah, or you don't. And if you have a shvachin kof, if you have shvachin kishreinus, then it's over with. You can't be matzliach anymore. We know Rabbi Yisai, on the other hand, the fact is we know there are many, many gedolim who are not born with tremendous kishreinus, yet they became gedolim because of the yegia atzuma, the tremendous yegia and the amelus, and the effort that they put into their learning. So they were zeichet with tremendous yati dishmaya, little by little, in yediyas ha-Torah, and in havonas ha-Torah, until they became the greatest. There's a sefer called Chidushei Moron Repesach Mikobrin. Chidushei Repesach. Who is Chidushei Repesach? Was the Rebbe of Reb Moshe. As a matter of fact, when they printed those Chidushim, there's a letter from Reb Moshe. Reb Moshe Feinstein was a Talmud of Reb Pesach of Kobrin, and written there in the Hagdom of the Sefer, that Reb Pesach, when he enrolled in the yeshiva that he went to, he was mamish, he was born with shvachik yishreinus, to the point that once or twice he spoke up in the middle of the shir, and it caused a laughter from the chaverim sitting around him. They heard, there's akash, there's narishka, it started to laugh. He had tremendous, tremendous chalishas adas, and it's written there in the Hagdomah that Reb Pesach, he sits down one night, late at night, in the Beis Medrash, nobody was there. I don't know if he went to the Aron Kodesh or not, to remember the detail, but he was mispallel, clearly he was shofar demois. He said, Rabbi Yisrael, open up my head. Give me the Siyata Dishmaya. And he writes over there, from then on, he saw all of a sudden that new world opened up to him. New world opened up. Shtetzach had gehar of it. It didn't fly into his head. He was ready to do his part. And Rabbi Yisrael did the other part, and gave him the kishreinus. That you see that whole sefer, that chidushim on Yevomis and on the Dorim, on all the shveris, the sugiyas, the shurim, the kenal of my yeshivas, yesteryear, the kind of shurim that Rosh Yeshivas gave, that's chidush repesel mekabrin. And the same thing is said about the Maharam Shik. Maharam Shik, the greatest poisek of all time, the Talmud of the Chassam Sefer, that he was considered to be the prime Talmud, that they say, Mimoisha ad Moshe lekom kemoshe, which is said between Moshe Rabbeinu to the Rambam, they say it. There was also said between the Chassam Sofer and the Maram Shik. Chassam Sofer's name was Moshe. Maram Shik's name was also Moshe. So I said, like, between these two Moshes, there was no other two Moshes compared like to these two Moshes. He also grew up with a very, as they say, weak Kishrin. And yet, ultimately, he was zeichet to tremendous Yati Dishmaya, with Tfilah and Yegiyah and Amelus B'Torah, that he became the Maharam Shik. Ram Shik, I heard from my father, heard from his Rebbe, who was a Talmud of Ram Shik. My father heard from his Rebbe that he said that in fact the Ram Shik knew Kol HaTorah Kula Kimoshe Kibla Moshe Misinai. This is the Loshon he said. The Ram Shik knew Kol HaTorah Kula Kimoshe Kibla Moshe Misinai. As a matter of fact, Sof Yomov, he was a Saginor, he was blind. And take a look at the Shalsi Tshuvas of Ram Shik. Many of the Tshuvas were written through a dictation without opening a sefer, literally, everything, just written straight out of memory. And it is Yidua, which is also mentioned, that at a particular time when his eyesight began to fail him, people did not know how far he was shvach in the eyes, the koich ariyah. He gave shir as if nothing happened, kirogil, normally. Gemara, Rashi, Tosis, until they realized that he had a different mesechta in front of him. Made a mistake once, he took the wrong mesechta. Agav, I want to tell you, this is a phenomenon that in our time was also, I don't know too many who were able to do that, but I can tell you, I'll say the name, this is on tape now somewhere, so you can hear it. There's a Yid in Monsi who has a koil, it's called Waxman's koil, Rabbi Waxman's koil, it's a koil. He was very close, he's very close with a big Talmud Chacham, who was a Rav in the Kilik, which then was called Chredim, which is Trey, which is really the Kilik of Satmer in Monsi. His name was Rav Shmelke Tobenfeld, that was his name. Rishwakatom was a Belzachusid, who it was known that he was a Baki Bishas. Nigla, Nister, Chasidis, whatever you want, you name it. So I heard this personally by Rabbi Waxman. Rabbi Waxman told me that he was always Mishamish, he says, Rav Shmelke. He was always Mishamishim. Nebuchadnezzar, very young. He was Mishamishim. He says, so of course he was a participant this year. And he says once that Rav Shmelke Taki quoted, said a certain Rashi in this year, and they argued with the Pshat. Rabbi Waxman says, I argued in the Pshat of the Rashi. So after the Shir, so I went over to him, and I said my opinion. And he said, no, from Rashi, the Loshon is Mashma different. So Rabbi Waxman tells me, he says, so I told him, well, let's look into the Rashi. He didn't want to open the Gemara. He didn't want to let you open the Gemara. He said, well, why don't you want to open the Gemara? Let's take a look. It turned out that day he made the mistake. He brought the wrong Gemara. And didn't want anybody to know that he's saying the Shir by heart. Every word of the Gemara and every shtikal Rashi. As I say, this is kamat unheard of, okay? To talk about in times of today when you talk about this thing. But this is, as I say, this I heard from Rabbi Waxman, who saw it firsthand by Rabbi Shmuel Katobenfeld. He was highly respected by all the Gedolei Yisrael. He was known, a young man who is, as you see, a Boki B'chol HaTorah Kula. All right. So, Akoponim. So, David HaMelech, when he goes around, and he says, Zmiris Hoylich V'Kecho, that your Torah to me is like Zmiris, it might give the impression that in the same way as Zmir is, a person has to be born, right, with a voice. Has to be born with a koil orev, with a sweet voice. If not, he can't be mehana menegina. That's Torah is also like that. If you're born with kishon, Mr. Talmud Chuchem, oiv nishnish. So what was the yoinish? The yoinish was regarding something, bakosef yisoh. When it comes, Rabbi said, to physical strength, you have people who have weak hands, right? They can't bench press too many pounds. But the fact is, if you keep doing it, and you keep doing it, and you exercise more and more, people become geboirim through physical exercise. You're able to take, right, a chalishis, you're able to take a weakness. You're able to take a person who at first was only able to carry, right, small loads, right, or light loads, and a person is able to be mechazik himself, and to be able to gain power, that down the road, a year later, he's able, push it, to lift very heavy loads. That's how Torah is. You can be born with Shvachi Kishrin. You can exercise that Kishrin. You can develop that Kishrin. The mistake was in Bakos of Yisoh regarding carrying. And in fact, what do you see by the Oren? Oren was Noises Noisov. It went all with Siyata Dishmaya. It's not you. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Torah, that's the Oren. The schus of Torah is not how much kishrin you have. The schus of Torah is not who you are. Aroin, the Torah is nicest nice of. If you have this Yatid Ishmael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu carries you. That's what we show to David HaMelech. You said, Zemiris Hoylech Hikecho. It's like Zemiris. Either you have it or you don't. Or the Kemen Zingen, the Kemen Nishzingen. Torah is not like that. It's not totally in the greatest of Kishrim. It helps. Kishrim helps. No question about it. But certainly that's not what determines. I say it all the time. And people, Mesoma, everybody went through the yeshiva system. And probably in the yeshiva, there were always one or two who seemed to be very promising, right? Those were called the Mitzuyonim. And Mestame, when you went in yeshiva, you probably had plans that these are going to grow up one day to be, right? The world is going to really benefit from them. Nenen. Didn't materialize. They did not become what you thought they would become. They seemed to have a lot of potential. It didn't work out. And yet there were others, I'm sure, that you thought, he only had a 75 or an 80, something. Well, how great a person is going to become. And yet, later years, you find you hear great things of that person. I myself know of a few, personally. Mamish, I remember in yeshiva, I would have like given up on the program. I'm giving up on him. Wouldn't think that this person would become something. One of the trades of Choshiva died in Brooklyn. It was two grades below me in yeshiva. And he learned, not saying they learned, but it didn't seem like anything is going in. He was learning, but he wasn't matzliach. I mean, certainly not any great madrege. This person becomes as a choshev, a highly respected dayan and a moira today in Brooklyn. Borough Park. So this is the inyan of Torah. Torah is not like zmiris. Torah is something that a person can develop to be zoichet to the siyati d'shemaya, to be able to be zoichet to the truth of Torah. So we go further now. So we're further into Ramchal. So this is with David HaMelech, as we see. Furthermore, says Ramchal, and by the way, as we see what happened, and you'll understand even better the idea of David, to understand the point that Ramchal is making, that Kishbor didn't spare even David HaMelech, because he said Zemiris, Michal. Take the case of Michal. Michal was the daughter of Shaul, right, also. Michal Bashol, so the daughter of Shaul. So we find, in fact, when it came to Michal, we see Lefi, Choichicha is David, because she gave Musa to David. She sort of like ranked him out. She actually rebuked David HaMelech, Bameh Shiroka Bachutz Lifnei Oroim. Because David HaMelech ran in front of the Oroim in public. He danced in a way that seemed to be unbecoming for a king. So she gave him Musa, you're a king, you're a Melech B'Israel, you don't lower yourself, dancing and springing and jumping in a way that is for a jester. It's not Kovel Malchus to dance in front of the Oroim that way. As a result, Michal was punished for Hoyle of Vlad El Bemoisa. So we find that, in fact, that until she was dying, right, still the Maisa, she didn't give birth to a child. She had what she had before, but she didn't have any children subsequent to that. As a point out in Shmuel Beis. What do you see now, Rabbi said? Now take a look for a second. Connect these two things. Again, the same point. Dovra HaMelech says, Miras Hoyle Chikecho. You can be sure Dovra HaMelech's kavone was not to undermine Kovod HaTorah. That zikha was not his kavone. It came out that way, right? It came out, in other words, he used a lashon that gives or might give the appearance that he sort of denigrated, lowered the Kovod HaTorah. More than that, was there anyone that really extended Kovod HaTorah more than Dovra HaMelech? Look by Michal. Dovra HaMelech, when he saw the Oroim, he jumped in a way that would not appear to be Bekovedik. It's not the way the Hanog of the Melech Yisrael. The Melech didn't care that he was a Melech Yisrael because Kovod HaTorah reigned supreme in his life. And he was ready to put down Kovod Malchus and everything for Kovod HaTorah. So the Melech certainly has showed over and over again that he's makriv his own Kovod for the sake of Kovod HaTorah. And yet, because he said Zemiris Holich Hekecho, which might have the implication that he somehow is sliding Kovod HaTorah, he's being punished. So far goes the Oymek Adin. You can be sure Dovda Melech's Kabbalah was not to slide Kovod HaTorah. And I'm not sure that anybody really was Choshedim, that he meant when he said, Zmiris Hoylu Chikecho, that he really meant to slide the Kovod HaTorah. Who gave himself more for Kovod HaTorah than Dovda Melech? And yet, Dovda Melech, as great as he was, and as slight as the Loshen Zmiris Hoylu Chikecho really was, coming from Dovda Melech, nevertheless, this is in fact what happens. So this, again, this is very fascinating as we see it. And finally, he goes on to say that Chizkiyo
is Melech Yehuda. Lefi Shehero El Sore Melech Bovel as Beis Nechoisoi. Chizkiyo HaMelech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a tremendous nace that the shade moved back Eser Malois, sort of like 10 steps backward. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a tremendous nest. And the Sorei Bavel came, instead of showing them
the nes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, Chizkiyahu went and he showed them his treasures. He showed them the glory that he has. He showed them the cover that he has. He went and he showed them his Beis Nechoisoi. He went and showed them, right, went to show them the house, his treasure houses, and so on, to the officers of Melech Bavel. As a result, Nigzar Albonov, so therefore it became decreed on his sons, Liyoisirisim Behecha Melech Bavel, that in fact they should become ministers in the palace of Melech Bavel. So here again, we have another indication, as we see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Medagigim Tzadikim, this is the idea, he wants to show Oymek Adin. Oymek Adin applies to everybody, and no one is spared when it comes to Oymek Adin. That no one is spared when it comes to Oymek Adin. It's an interesting thing to point out, and this is something that I remember like seeing it in the Sefer, probably more than 30 years ago, maybe even 40 years ago. And B'dach Klal, I'd never like to repeat it, this uvde, this situation. But being that this is what we're talking about here now, talking about Oymek Adin, I figure once I'll mention it. But usually in droshes in the morning, I don't want to mention this. It's a sort of like a frightening situation. and I always like to talk about things that give people hope, not to drag people down. But when you talk about Oymek Adin, at least I have an asogi, a little bit of Oymek Adin. Let me just make a hakdome. When the great poiskim, always brought down by the Shach and the Taz, right, you're going back four centuries, is the Levush. Levush, of course, was Remot Cheyofe. Remot Cheyofe Trei Jaffi, they say. Remot Cheyofe, known as the Baal HaLevushim. The Levush, right? One of the greatest poiskim, Gedolei HaRabbonim of all time. Levush, basically, he was born in Prague in 1530. So the Levush was born in Prague in 1530. And in fact, he learns Torah, he goes to Poland. He goes to Poland to learn Torah. Where does he learn Torah? By the Marshal. He's a Talmud of Reb Shloim Aluria. He's a Talmud of the Marshal. And he's also a Talmud of the Ramah. Two great Rabbeim, like that. Can't top that. And he becomes, of course, the Levush. The same time also that the Levush, being that, this was the history of Klal Yisrael, Yidden were expelled out of Prague. Also at that time, many, many incidents where Yidden were expelled. Yidden were expelled in Prague at that particular time. So as a result, he has to leave Prague, and he goes and he wanders to Italy, of all places. The Levush comes to Italy. Italy already was a place that people would go, famous universities there. He also was Mishtalim himself, and basically became a Isha Sholem in all types of sciences as well, which was not uncommon, you know, many Gedolei Yisrael that day, that they're not only great in Torah, but they were great in all of the sciences. He also was great in all these sessions in mathematics, and all of these situations, astronomy, and so on and so forth. And geometry, actually. So there, finally, he goes to Lublin. Interesting thing is, the Maral leaves Prague to go to Posen. In 1592. He goes to Posen. So Levush comes and takes the rabbinical position in Prague. Ultimately, the Maral comes back to Prague, and the Levush goes to Posen. And he becomes a Rav in Posen. This is the Levush. Anyway, so the Levush, as we said, was a Baki in all of the sciences. There was a big Chochom. There was a big Chochom by the name of Rav Avraham HaSfardi. Rav Avraham HaSfardi lived in Venice, here. And he was a big Baki in Ibur HaChodesh, in to figure out by the astronomy of how the lunar year and the lunar month, to be able to calculate it exactly with precision. His name was Rav Avraham HaSfardi, Chacham Avraham HaSfardi, that was his name. Chacham Avraham HaSfardi was a big baki in these inyonim. And the Levush went to learn as a Talmud. He was great, but he needed to learn something. He went, he sought out a place, this was the source. He goes there in order to learn Chochmas Ibur HaChodesh, and he spends 3 months. The Levush, Remot Chayotha, spends 3 months in Venice to learn Ibur HaChodesh. It happens while he's there in the house with the Chacham, Rav Avraham HaSfardi. There was a young child who was the son of the Chacham, who made a brocha, b'leire priyoetz, b'koil rom. The whole B'nai Bais answered Amen, and he was busy whatever he was doing. He did not answer Amen. The Levush did not answer Amen. At that moment, the Chacham got very upset at the Levush, to the point that he says, a brocha was made, and you did not answer Amen. As a result, he says, I'm putting you in Cherem. He was Makabel Cherem for Shloshim Yoyim. Ramat Chayofa was Makabel Cherem. As a matter of fact, He considered him his rabbi. The Gemara said, the Mishnah says, if you learn Oisachas, right? If you learn Oisachas, he's already your rabbi. By the way, you can be greater than him in other things, but in a certain sense, he's your rabbi also. He taught him Ibrah Chodesh, so a Talmud, right, accepts Nidui from his rabbi. So he in a sense, he's his rabbi also. So he told him to be in Chayrim, he put him in Chayrim. So for 30 days, he really is there in Chayrim. After that, when it's over, he goes over to him and he appeases him, he's Matthias, and he asks Mechila, and the Chacham says to him, I want you to know, I have a tremendous ahava to you. I have a tremendous love to you, he says. We became very, very close. But I wanted you to know that the time, he was a big Baal Mekubal, so the time that you didn't answer Amen, being that you're such a great person, it was Nigzar Misa B'dei Shemaim on you. It was Nigzar says Misa B'dei Shemaim because he didn't say Amen. So, but now, it became forgiven. Like now the Chayrim, the experience of Chayrim for 30 days became forgiven. B'tnai, that he says, every Kehillah, wherever you go, you should be Mefarsim, he says, the Chait and the Pegam of one who does not answer Amen, that he hears, and as a result, he says, this is going to serve as a kapar to you. And he tells him the following incident. This is another 2 minutes. So he says the following incident. And he says to him that in Spain, he said there was a particular kehillah. He says that there was a decree against, it was before 1492, because the earlier period, there was a time where the high officer, who had the koich, or the melech, let's call it, who had gave a decree that in order that the Yidden should be driven out. The melech at that time had a close friend, a leader of the Jewish community, who was known to be a big chosid, the onof, a great tzaddik. And whenever he saw him, he used to spend a lot of time together. He was very happy to spend time with him. So he ayoim, he says, the melech got a particular situation, he got angry at the Yidden, and he gave a gzeira that Yidden have to be expelled from that particular country, and for that particular mokim. So the cheshuva akilu went to this chosid v'yonov, who was a very close friend of the melech, and said, maybe you're the one who's able to abolish the gzeira, so you should go to him. So he agreed, he took upon himself this chosid v'yonov, and he goes to the melech, and the melech was very happy, he saw him, he embraced him, and he hugged him. Tremendous, tremendous simcha. What happened was, Zman Mincha was coming. Zman Mincha was approaching. And the chosid, the yonov, did not yet daven mincha. No, you can't, melech, covered malchus, you can't just go away and say, okay, excuse me, so I want daven mincha. So you have to stand midnight covered, this is midnight covered, the melech, standing in front of the melech. Meantime, as they're spending time, a very famous koimer, famous agalach, one of the most famous noted galochim, who the melech respected very highly, he comes in to visit the melech, just to be an audience at the same time. And as was customary, that the galach, being that he was considered to be a man of God, so his brachas were very choshev, but in the eyes of the melech, I mean, if he has a direct link right, to heaven. So he comes with a big document, comes with a scroll or something, and with all brachas, about the 25, 30, 40 lines of brachas, he starts to read brachas to the melech, he starts to read brachas to the melech. So the chosid thinks, now's my chance, he says. I see this long scroll, he says. I'll go daven mincha in the meantime, he says. So I'll slip away. I'll daven mincha. And by the time he'll be finished, you know, with all those brachas, the galach attending, yichaloch attending. Turns out that the galach finished a little too soon. When the galach finished, he says that everybody in the room has to say Amen. He was in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Whether he was aware, whether he wasn't aware, he did not say Amen. After the galach asked the melech, did everyone in the room answer Amen? And it turns out that yes, everyone except that yid, it's always the yid, except that yid. He starts to tear, ripping hairs of his head, and starts, Vayitzak, Tzolka Gedoy Lomoro. He says, you know, this bracha would have become the Kuyim, but because this one person, this chosid, didn't call him chosid, he said, this yid didn't answer Amen, he says, he destroyed the whole bracha. The ganze bracha is worthless, and now that you're not going to have it, he destroyed his bracha for you. Ad kedei kach became a ganze sinim, the ganze masa, they arrested him, and unfortunately, they took his life. This chosid had a friend, also a great chosid. But Mari didn't understand, what was the chet of this chosid who died? What was the chet of this chosid who died? Why would they deserve misa? I mean, this happened, Menei Shemaim, had to be a reason. So he fasted, and he was mispalo. He was made a shaila, Menei Shemaim, that they should answer him, give him the answer. So Maisa, what happened is, he comes to him in a dream. The chosid that was executed comes to him in a dream, and he says to him, I want you to know me, Yomai. He says, I hardly did ever an aveira. But he says, once he says, Birach b'ni hakotn brocha la pas, v'shamatin, I didn't answer Amen to a brocha of my child. As a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited to another opportunity where by a galach, by not saying Amen, at the oynish of not saying amen on a brocha, that now came the time in order to be taken care of. So the Chacham Asfardi says to the Levush, I want you to, wherever you go, to tell the people the story, because you also had this incident of not answering amen, but I put you in Cherem, he says, and to tell the story that I'm telling you now with the Chosid and the Melech, and as a result, this will be a kapora to you. Is this an amazing thing? Oh, by the way, I just want to mention, and so the Levush accepted it, and I want to mention this, because in Posen, the Levush was a Rav in Posen, so Memela, the way that he had instituted as a Rav of the Kehila, that once a month, they would read, this is called this Megillah, of this incident, of this Maisa, to know, to realize what is the Oynish, he says, for not answering Omen, even on a Broch on a child, and certainly Bebeis HaKnesses, when the Shliach Tzibur says Omen. So you have a little bit of a raya here. This is what Amchal is talking about, Oymek HaDin, to have an Asoge, what it means. I end always on a good note, as Reb Tzadik says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows our weaknesses also. So, Bezus Hashem, we still have a little bit of hope here. But we have at least the goals in front of us, we know what to have to strive for, and once we know a little more, knowing a little more could be dangerous. Because if we know a little more, then the machayev responsibilities are all that much greater, and in fact we should be zoiche. In our days as we count on the sphere to Kabbalah Satoyer to be mekabel higher levels of Shmir Samitzis and Torah, and to be zoiche to all the Ashpois and Brochis. Amen.